Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. It's Thursday. That means Lee Kelly is with me in studio. IU victorious last night. Good win, 79-54 over Princeton, although kind of the story as usual for this Indiana team, even against these mid to low level opponents, has been they don't really get it going until the second half and sometime a little bit into the second half. And that was once again the story last night. But Indiana victorious. Lee Kelly, we are gearing up for a big weekend. We've got some high school girls basketball games, boys basketball scrimmages. The season for boys basketball starts next week. By this time next week, we will probably have seen a couple games here in the area heading into Thanksgiving, which of course is a week from today, which is crazy to think about. Also a big IU football game this week against Michigan. So once again, we continue in that real sweet spot of the year with college basketball, college football, pro sports, and of course we love our local stuff here in Southern Indiana. But glad to have you with us today, and as always, a great time of year. I know you are itching like me to get out to a gymnasium in the area and to get this high school basketball season started, and you and I are going to have the opportunity to do so next Tuesday night.
You know, that Tuesday opening night brings back great memories, and for me, going to Silver Creek, it was Henryville that Silver Creek opened up with every single year on a Tuesday night, and that was just part of it. And then later, when I went to work at New Albany High School, they opened with Clarksville on the Tuesday before. And one of the great things about it at New Albany, I noticed, all the college kids were coming back, and they came to that game to see their friends home from college or take a, you know, at the end of the workday, whatever their situation happened to be. But it was like alumni night at that Tuesday night game. So I really enjoyed that, thought it was a great part of it, and can't wait for next Tuesday night.
Yeah, Christian Academy hosting Floyd Central. That's a good early season game. Obviously a big challenge for Christian Academy, but they're going to be really good in 1A basketball this year, and I think they'll put up a good challenge for the Highlanders. And of course, Floyd Central, look forward to seeing Jake Heidbreeder, Grant Goman. They've got another good team returning this season. Just a really, really strong time in this area. And we've been going through this time now for a number of years, and let's hope it continues on. And, of course, we've got some young talent in this area, so it's going to go on for at least a handful of more years, and let's hope much longer than that. But ready to get the season underway. IU's well underway now in these November games as they approach the month of December very, very quickly. High school basketball on the boys' side is kind of the one thing still hanging out there to officially get started as far as games go. But the good thing is, once it starts, it is here, and it happens fast and furious, and the games come very quickly. You have some weekday games occasionally, and of course, nothing like Friday and Saturday nights high school basketball here in the area. Let's take a look at today's show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Excited about what we've got in this hour today. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines. We'll take a look at some highlights from last night's Indiana victory over Princeton. We'll also take a look at some Romeo Langford stuff. Everybody wanting to know. It's the common question in the area right now. I think I've been hit with, I was at a furniture store earlier today. I was at the dentist earlier today. Both of those places What's the latest on Romeo? What's going on with all these injuries?
So, and I walked in the door, and what was the first question I asked you? What have you heard?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so exactly. I figure we better address that again and keep you posted on what's going on with Romeo, at least the most that we know. And we'll do that coming up a little bit later in the program in this first segment as well. Then later, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he's always with us on Tuesdays. Alex was at the IU game last night. We have that to talk about, and of course, some IU news that's not positive is Dawson Garcia chose Marquette yesterday. We knew the announcement was coming. He did pick the Golden Eagles over Indiana, and we'll talk some about that here in the headline segment and coming up later in the program with Alex. Then I'm really excited for our third guest today. He had another almost double-double last night, another very, very solid game. Sean East, former New Albany standout, after a year of prep school, is off to a really, really big start at UMass. He was the A-10 Rookie of the Week earlier this week. And again, he continued his good performances here as the starting point guard for the team with, I think it was 10 points, 8 assists, something like that last night. Once again, a good performance for Sean East, and he's going to join us a little bit later in the program today. Don't forget you can stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch that will be made to order for you. You can interact with the show today and every day as well. Submit a comment or a question, and it might get read on the air. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills. You can also tweet me a question there, and the show has a page on Facebook. Just search the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can leave a message there. Maybe Lee and I will get to it on the air today. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Lee, IU victorious last night. I think when I look at the performance, the effort, again, it's another game that it doesn't get you too excited as far as who the opponent is. That's going to come next month. We know there are plenty of big games ahead of this Indiana team. But you look at the little things. You look at how players are progressing, how players are adapting to their role. We've had lots of talk so far about the defensive side of things for this Indiana team. And last night was really the first opportunity to basically get a look at Indiana's lineup and maybe starting lineup the way we expect it to be in forthcoming games and some of those more interesting games in December and obviously more tougher games in December as well. That said, I think the thing last night, in addition to Indiana picking it up, getting it going much better in the second half, putting some space between them and mid-major Princeton 79-54 is a pretty solid win with some margin between you. I think I've got to give the nod to two things. Devontae Green last night, thought he looked much more like a Big Ten potential key player for the Hoosiers last night, especially in the second half, than what he did in his first return from the hamstring injury. So that's good news because, again, Devontae Green's going to have to do a lot for this Indiana team this year. And also, I thought Joey Brunk last night, a good performance for Indiana, really his best performance of the season by far, 16 points on 7 of 11 shooting as well. And he's a big guy. He is clearly somebody that has the build, the body to help in Big Ten games. And great to see him be much more of a contributor last night. So I think I give the nod to those two things in a game that really doesn't get you too interested because of who the opponent is or how good they are expected to be. And this really isn't some big win for this Indiana team. You look at some of those smaller things and some of those more detailed things. And those are two things, Devontae Green and Joey Brunk, that I thought were good last night.
Yeah, I agree. And sitting there watching that game last night, I was thinking, you know, I think these games that IU has scheduled here in the month of November are good. It's given him a chance to try different lineups, get different people on the floor, see how they react. But the other side of that, I think it's difficult to get your team up to play some of the competition IU has played. Whereas when they play somebody in the Big Ten or they play Florida State or they play somebody, Duke or whoever it might be, it's much easier to get the team motivated to really give it everything from the opening tip. And you say, well, kids should be ready to play. Well, yeah, it should be sunny in 75 every day, but that's not going to happen either. So I'm anxious to see them when they play a school that they know is good, they know is going to give them a real battle, how they react then.
Yeah, and that's all coming up very soon. Louisiana Tech, I think, is pretty good, no question about it, for a mid-major team. So that might be a little more interesting. Then it drops off a bit to finish the month. But after that, you get into December, and I think we'll – I mean, it's obvious. I think we'll know a lot about this team. You know what? I think we'll know a lot about this team, as crazy as it sounds, when they play Florida State in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. I think I'll be a lot more confident one way or the other in how the season could go after the two Big Ten games. And I really believe when you get through December, not that things can't greatly improve or the bottom can't fall out if they are going really well, but I just feel like that we've seen a lot from this team. There's still a lot of question marks out there, and I think many of those are going to be answered next month, to be quite honest with you, as far as expectations for March, expectations for standings in the Big Ten Conference and things like that. So interested to see what this team does, as you mentioned, against a really athletic team, a team that's a high major, you know, athleticism team that can defend at an elite level. And they just simply haven't seen that so far. They're not going to see that until the month of December. Also, last night for this Indiana team, I thought they protected the ball, took care of the ball well. One of the statistics that I always look at the night of or the next morning after an Indiana game, if you don't catch it during the broadcast, is the number of turnovers and free throws and three-point shooting percentages generally have been something that we really pay attention to and have been concerning points with this team at times. But last night, to finish with just 9 turnovers, I thought really good. I don't care who you're playing. That's kind of one of those stats that if you can keep it under 10, it doesn't matter if you're playing the number one ranked team in the country or the number 363 or however many D1 teams there are. If you can protect the ball and do some things right yourself, that's a good sign for the future. So I do think that turnovers and the lack thereof last night, a good sign coming out of that game for Indiana as well. Another headline, Dawson Garcia, the big man from Minnesota that we have talked about so very much on this program, probably for an out-of-state guy. I was thinking about this yesterday. For an out-of-state player, he might be one of the most talked about recruits that we've had on, you know, on this program as far as featuring and learning about and talking about as his recruiting drew to a close yesterday. And again, he did pick Marquette. I guess the redeeming grace on this is that in the world of college basketball now, obviously Indiana has, I think, the two guys from in-state that they wanted. They got a player from out-of-state in Jordan Geronimo that looks like a great athlete, and I think very intriguing. I look forward to talking some with his prep school coach and keeping a very watchful eye on him in the upcoming prep season up in the Northeast. But I think the interesting thing is college basketball has changed so much that there would be a time sitting here with November turning into December very soon where you would say Indiana has openings and Indiana has needs in this 2020 class of recruiting. But high school basketball across the country, just like here in Indiana, it's either starting or has started. And you think, where is a, you know, there's no big names out there. There's no, the high major guys are gone. Most of them have made their decisions. There's always that rare case of a late qualifier or somebody that maybe decommits or is released because of a coaching change. So you never say never. But college basketball has changed so much with recruiting and players that leave programs after one or two seasons that are willing to sit out a year, which is something that you used to just really not see unless it was a diehard case or a certain need. And then, of course, graduate transfers have added a whole nother element to the game of college basketball as well. So when you think about Indiana's needs on the roster as you watch them play this season and you look at who's graduating and kind of the flow of things, and you think, what's next? Obviously, you think to the next class. You drop down to 2021, and there obviously are some big names there. But Indiana's going to add somebody, some which way, at some point, maybe a couple players in this 2020 class. We probably have never said their name or have no clue who they are right now, but whether it be a graduate transfer, just a regular transfer, a late recruit, a coach leaves, somebody gets released from their national letter of intent, some which way, and maybe that's not the way you want, Adam. Maybe you want to get your class done now and you want to be involved with some of these guys like Dawson Garcia, but I guess that's the thing to keep in mind. The other thing is, for a lot of haters, and we've talked about people on social media that just lose their minds with recruiting and are willing to tweet and write to recruits on social media. And I don't think I saw a lot of that yesterday. Maybe it happened, I just didn't see it. But with some guys, especially Keon Brooks, I mean, it was a bad look on some Indiana fans with how they kind of treated him online, to say the least. That said, I do think it's a good thing for Indiana fans that Dawson Garcia, as big of a name as he is, and he's a big guy, and he's waited till later to make his decision. He chose Marquette. He didn't choose Louisville or Kentucky or Purdue or even another Big Ten team that you're going to have to battle him and see him for the next couple of years. It's obviously his local choice outside of Minnesota, the next closest program to him. They've been recruiting him the longest. When he made his decision yesterday, being interviewed by Evan Daniels, clearly he's got an affinity to that program. And a lot of it is just simply because of the amount of time that he has dealt with and known those coaches. So Dawson Garcia off the board. Who knows exactly where Indiana goes from here, at least in the 2020 class. But there are so many ways that college basketball can move on a moment's notice, and a player can arrive at your doorstep when you don't even see it, at least especially from the fan perspective and the media perspective. So who knows what happens next. But it won't be Dawson Garcia next year suiting up in the cream and crimson.
I heard somebody on the radio yesterday talking about the coaching staff at Marquette probably said, take a look at our roster. You're going to play, and you're going to play a lot. If you look at Indiana, they've got Joey Brunk, and they've got Trace Jackson Davis, and they've got Race Thompson. Will you be on the bench part of the time, more of the time? And that could be. Who knows what they use? Steve Wojciechowski, I believe, is at Marquette. So who knows? And one thing that I think maybe you take for granted is you start following players in our area when they're very, very young through the youth leagues that you're involved in and the Parks Department leagues and so on. Yesterday on the show, you started with freshman girls and talking about, you know, the ones to watch for the future. To me, that's relatively new. I know it's been around for a long time. There have been websites that start tracking these kids when they're in AAU very young. But you had the girls, freshman girls, on yesterday.
And boys. Yeah.
Oh, I missed the boys. Mm-hmm. I got to go back now and listen to the podcast again. Indy Star had freshmen on yesterday. I think they're working their way down where you guys are working your way up. So it's basketball in Indiana. When people say, well, other states, nah, I don't think so. You know, maybe. But Indiana loves basketball, and apparently at any age they love basketball and trying to predict which kids are going to turn out to be stars.
Well, it's all getting younger and younger, as you know, and at some point I draw a line, and you know, when they're not high school prospects or high school students, that is. But nonetheless, yes, you do identify these guys earlier and earlier in the recruiting process. And again, I think going back to Dawson Garcia for one more moment, it's clearly a case where longevity paid off in the end for Marquette. And that's why you see Archie Miller and his staff at some younger games and younger divisions in the summer instead of always just watching the older players. They got to get to know Trey Kaufman when he's a sophomore. They cannot wait until he's a junior. And Indiana, with prospects since Archie Miller has been there, they've done a good job with that. And I think that's why you've seen Indiana, especially in state, go on to land most of the players, to be quite honest, that they have been after. Next headline as we move on, Romeo Langford. Interesting story yesterday. Tom Westerholm, he's a voice that's familiar on our program of Mass Live that covers the Celtics. He had a little story on Romeo, who, of course, was injured again, this time an ankle injury, playing for the Maine Red Claws on Saturday night, about 7 minutes or so into that game on Saturday night. But he had an article with Robert Williams, who's a center for the Celtics, and he talked about his time. He got sent down to Maine last year to play some games in the G League, and he called it humbling, is what Robert Williams described it as. It also sounds like Robert Williams has a relationship with Romeo Langford. They play the popular video game Fortnite together, it sounds like, and communicate some. But he described, and I think this is interesting because people want to know, you know, how good is basketball in the G League? What exactly is the opportunity there for Romeo? Williams described the G League. He said the G League, quote, is a way to get a bunch of reps and work on your craft and perfect your craft. You've really got to take advantage of that time while you're down there. Just realizing when we get up here, talking about being in the NBA, recognizing what the G League is and knowing that it is an honor and it is a gift to be on an NBA roster. He also said, quote, it is very important just because you won't be able to do something unless you try it. That's why they send people to the G League to actually try those things, to get repetition, so when you get on a bigger stage, you're prepared for it. And I think good words from Robert Williams. Romeo Langford needs to stay healthy. That is problem number one. He showed in that one outing with Maine that he can maybe dominate that level of basketball, and I don't think that's any surprise to us. He just is in a tough spot, and this is what all these questions around the communities here locally that want to know what's going on with Romeo and when's he going to get an opportunity and why is he injured all the time. He's in a really tough spot because Boston is good. They are off to a really good start. Yes, Gordon Hayward is injured, but they don't just have Gordon Hayward that is in a position similar as Romeo. They've got multiple players that are in a position similar to Romeo. And so when they're playing well and when those guys ahead of him have gotten minutes and are finding success and Romeo's hurt, even in the small opportunities that could come open for minutes, he just isn't getting an opportunity. And staying hurt and continuing to get hurt, whether it's in Boston or whether it's playing for Maine, obviously has not helped his cause at all, no question about it. So he's rehabbing. That's the last we heard. He may go back to Boston to rehab, which would make a lot of sense. I do think it's a good situation, and I know a lot of teams want to have their G League team, their G League affiliate close. It is a good situation. It sounds like that Portland, Maine, where the Red Claws are at, is so very close to Boston that they can practice in Boston some, and that Romeo can kind of, if he could get healthy, be a dual member. He could practice with the Celtics, which even practicing with that level of competition when they're going hard, getting ready for an opponent, he's the opposite team. He's like the scout team. That's good experience, and that shows his Celtics coaches, precisely Brad Stevens, the head coach, who's going to be there for all that, what he can and can't do. And so obviously tough spot when you're injured. You can't take advantage even of those small things, the practice time in front of Coach Stevens, the G League games with the Red Claws. He simply put has to get healthy, and I can only imagine how frustrated he is with his health status. It's just little ding here, little ankle here, little pull here, whatever it is, frustrating things that have kept him sidelined. So I guess let's hope for his health so maybe he can get back to at least getting some opportunity and be considered for some opportunities at the NBA, which at some point, as a well-paid lottery pick, he's going to get, obviously. But, you know, more and more you hear people say, is it best he gets traded? I have no idea. I don't know the NBA that much, but with other similar players in his position and given how things have started, who knows what the Celtics or others are thinking. But it does sound like that is something that at times, lightly here, lightly there, has been mentioned and will be interesting to see.
Yeah, and I would hate to see it personally because, one, I like the Celtics, but I think the Celtics have a good young core of players that will allow Romeo to progress as slowly as he needs to or as quickly as he is able to, whatever the case may be. He's not going to be thrown in immediately into the fire. So that's what I like about the Boston, if he can get healthy.
Absolutely. Those are the headlines brought to you by Zaxby's, the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. And don't forget, if you missed Craig Pearson and I, we had our top five freshman prospects, boys and girls, and high school basketball for the upcoming season. You can read more about that on the News and Tribune website, and very soon you'll be able to see profiles on those top five prospects in the newspaper as well. And then next Wednesday on the radio program, when Craig joins me, we'll do sophomores as we work our way up to juniors and, of course, seniors the following week. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins the program. We'll talk IU Princeton. We'll talk Devontae Green. We'll talk Joey Brunk and his big night last night for the Hoosiers, and a lot more coming up next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back on this Thursday program. This is the Hoosier Report. It's brought to you by CC Power Sports. Every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas at CC Power Sports. They're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through Christmas. Simply put down a deposit and pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can find out more about this Christmas special at ccpowersports.com. That's ccpowersports.com. Alex Bozich, always with Lee Kelly and I on Thursdays. Alex, you were courtside for the game last night in Bloomington. Indiana wins 79-54. And I tell you what, late in the first half, Princeton got a lead momentarily. Indiana seemed to have trouble putting Princeton away. But like other games this month to start the season for Indiana, the second half was much better, and Indiana went on to win by a sizable margin.
Yeah, I thought their defense was just a lot more locked in after halftime. I'm not sure if it was maybe the change to put Devontae Green out there and give him a kind of a spark there on the defensive end to start the second half. But you look at the numbers in the second half, Indiana only gave up 23 points, I think, on 32 possessions, which is really good against a Princeton team that, while, you know, they're picked to finish middle of the pack in the Ivy League, they did have some good shooters. They had a big man who came into the game averaging 17.3 points. They limited him to just 4 points. And, you know, I think one thing Archie Miller said in his post-game press conference that kind of stood out to me, you know, it seems so far this season that he has been a better second-half team so far, and that kind of makes sense from the standpoint of, you know, these guys are still learning. There's a lot of young guys who haven't played very many minutes, and having a chance to regroup at halftime and kind of make some adjustments is paying dividends for this team. I mean, there's been, you know, three or four examples now in games where they haven't necessarily looked sharp at the beginning, but they finished stronger. I think that's a good sign. Now they're going to have to kind of ramp that up and get closer to a full 40 minutes of really good basketball here as we come up to the stretch in December. That's going to be tough. But overall, I thought last night was an encouraging performance. You know, I thought the previous game was probably their best game out of the four, and you know, this game last night may have been better than that one, considering you know, the level of competition that they were playing was obviously a little bit higher. And I think just having Devontae Green out there scoring 16 points, dishing out 4 assists, he probably should have had 6 or 7 assists. There was a couple of really nice passes that he had that his teammates just couldn't convert. A couple of them, I think they were surprised that they found themselves with the ball where they did, how they did, because you kind of watch Devontae and you're like, wow, how did he make that pass? He's just really good at that. But yeah, I thought Indiana was, you know, challenged in the first half, and I thought they kind of put Princeton away early in the second half, and that's what you want to do at home. You want to come out early in the second half, and you can't let these teams hang around, because as we've looked around the country so far, there's been a lot of examples where teams haven't been able to put Western competition away, and they've lost. So Indiana, so far, to their credit, through five games, no blemishes on their resume.
You know, as I watched the game last night, it just seems to me that Indiana has so many pieces to the puzzle that they can move almost every time out. There are changes made on who's actually going to be on the court. And looking back at a year ago, whenever certain players would come in, you would kind of cringe, like, oh, what are they going to do now? This year they come in, and it's like no matter which five are on the floor, there seems to be a much better cohesiveness and style that they're playing. At least that's how I viewed it.
Yeah, I think one of the things that really stands out to me, at least offensively so far, is it felt like last year, you know, they were waiting for one or two guys to do something. You know, it was obviously Romeo and Juwan. And if those guys weren't going to do anything, it wasn't going to get done. This year, it feels more like all five guys that are on the court are a threat to do something. I mean, that goes from the top at Devontae Green and Justin Smith all the way down to the bottom. You know, Demezi Anderson, who's come off the bench and given them some good minutes. Race Thompson, he's not a guy that you're going to throw the ball to necessarily and ask him to go score, but he's figuring out ways just to get tip-ins and kind of, you know, if he can have a couple, two or three baskets a game just from offensive rebounding and kind of getting in the mix for loose balls, that's a big boost over the course of the season. So, to me, I feel like I agree with you. There's, you know, the talent level in terms of high-level talent may not be as strong at the top. I mean, obviously missing Romeo and Juwan, those are two professional basketball players, one a lottery pick, the other one in the G League. But top to bottom, it just feels like the roster is a little bit more well-rounded this year, and there's more guys at a given moment on the court that can make something happen, which I think Devontae Green's got a lot to do with that these last two games, having him out there. He not only can create a shot for himself, he's really good at creating shots for others, and you have to hope from an Indiana perspective that Rob Vennessy can kind of get back into that role. Because if you have him, Green, and Al Durham all playing at a high level, I think that's just going to make the team top to bottom even better and make things a lot easier on the guys in the front court. I didn't even mention Trace Jackson Davis, who continues to just kind of quietly. He had that monster dunk last night, which was really impressive off of the inbounds play. I mean, he doesn't look like a freshman out there. He looks just like a seasoned veteran, which you don't say that about young guys through their first time games of a college career very often, but he's one of the more impressive freshmen that I've seen so far this year in college basketball.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest, always with us on Thursdays. You know, five games into the season now is this Indiana team, and to be quite honest, Alex, I'm not sure that we've ever seen the future starting lineup, or I guess maybe the starting lineup that we somewhat expect to start this season in the big games moving forward. Really haven't seen a lot of the key players out there together because of injuries, namely with Devontae Green and Rob Vennessy, although they're back now. And, of course, Al Durham had a little spat as well, missing, what, a game or so. But that's the disappointing thing with this month, the way the schedule was designed. Not games that are going to get the fans overly excited, not games that are going to pack Assembly Hall and make it the loud environment that we know it all can be. But games that really could help this team kind of methodically build for the month of December and for the conference games. And I think that's a little bit of a bummer that five games in and really only maybe last night started to see that core lineup, key players get the opportunity really to play together and hopefully mesh more and prepare more for what's ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, though, encouraging, I think, now that Devontae's back, kind of that they've played better the last two games, because they're definitely going to need all hands on deck. I mean, Louisiana Tech right now is ranked ahead of Nebraska and Northwestern in KenPom, so that's going to be a test on Monday. And then you got South Dakota State, and then we kind of roll into that December schedule of just increased competition levels. So, you know, I think it's actually been pretty smart what the coaching staff's done with kind of being cautious with some of these guys early in the season. There was, you know, there's kind of a balance to strike between, you know, they definitely want to win all these games. They can't afford to lose any of them, but they also want to make sure that guys are healthy for the key games that really matter. And it looks like, knock on wood, that things are rounding into form there. Rob Tennessee last night took a shot in the head somewhere. I didn't quite see exactly what happened. I'll kind of try to watch the replay. It didn't look like it was that big of a shot, but he left the game and didn't come back in, but he was smiling on the bench. So hopefully that's not anything long-term. And obviously Daron Davis did not play last night with some back soreness. So hopefully he can get back in there in the lineup as well, because, you know, Indiana's only got 11 scholarship players. They can't afford to be down, you know, two or three guys at any given time this season. So they definitely need everybody in there and available for the immediate future, because, I mean, the guarantee games, quote unquote, are mostly over at this point.
Alex, I think we've got to catch your opinion on Dawson Garcia as well, getting away from last night's game. A lot of people in the last few days, the waning moments of the Garcia recruitment, predicted that he might pull the trigger for Marquette when he made his announcement yesterday, and that is exactly what happened. Your thoughts on two things, your thoughts on Dawson Garcia to Marquette, and where does Indiana go from here as far as maybe adding a player or two to the 2020 class, or is that something with – graduate transfers and other ways, kind of non-conventional ways that we just don't know right now?
In terms of Garcia to Marquette, I mean, I didn't really have a strong feeling any direction where he was going to go. I thought him and his family did a pretty good job of keeping it kind of close to the vest. You know, I was asked multiple times on our message board what I thought, and you know, I had a gut feeling of Marquette for a long time, but that wasn't based on any information. It was just kind of a feeling that, you know, Marquette was a school that had recruited him the longest. They got the last visit. You know, I don't think there's an exact science on this, but, you know, there's something to, I think, having the last kind of official visit with a kid. A lot of times that resonates, to have that last opportunity to make an impression, as long as it goes well. And it sounds like they knocked that visit out of the park. So, you know, I think it's obviously disappointing for Indiana, but, you know, it's not to say they didn't do a good job recruiting him, but, you know, when you're going after, you know, a top 30, top 40 kid nationally, there's going to be stiff competition, and you want to be in the recruitments where everybody wants a kid, because that means you're going after the right players, and you're not going to win them all. I think Indiana's got a good start on this class with the three guys they've signed. I don't think you're going to see anything else probably until the spring. Obviously, guys can't sign now, so while they could still get a commitment at some point if they start recruiting some other guys, you know, you're not going to see any action in terms of pen to paper until next April. So they got some time to kind of see what's out there. You know, the thing I always tell people to watch for, in addition to the grad transfers, is, you know, let's see what happens with this FBI stuff, if any schools get notices of allegations or any penalties. I mean, I think that could potentially open some things up in terms of guys opening the recruitment. And the other thing is, you know, coaching changes. If a coach gets fired, it could definitely open some guys back up. So I'm sure some names are going to come out between now and the spring. But in terms of recruiting for the foreseeable future, you know, I think it's going to be a little bit quiet. People are going to be focused a little bit more on the season. I think the coaching staff will continue to kind of see what's out there, what their options are, and then move forward from there. But they've got a pretty good start to this class. I think they're probably going to still want to add somebody in the spring. It's just going to depend on who's out there and what's available.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us Thursdays to talk IU basketball and more. Alex, as always, thanks for the chat.
All right, guys, have a good one.
And don't forget the IU coaches. You'll see them out and about, especially with some of the great underclassmen, juniors and sophomores, not just in the state but here in our area. When there's an opportunity to get out, Indiana doesn't have a game that day, you can expect to see them at some of the big high school games, keeping close tabs for future classes. Of course, 2021 and 2022, both a number of Indiana players and, again, Southern Indiana players from our really immediate area that Indiana coaches are after. We'll head to a commercial break here in just a moment. Sean East, former New Albany player, UMass standout, starting point guard, number one play, shot, whatever you want to call it, on SportsCenter last week, and another win last night for UMass. They defeated Ryder, and Sean with 10 points and 8 assists. Things continuing to go well for him up in the Northeast, and he's going to join the program when we come back from the commercial break. So stay with us for that. Sean East coming up here on the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. We'll head to a break. Final segment next with Sean East after this on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, and we've got the opportunity to catch up with a great player from the area that is absolutely having a terrific start to his college career at the Division I level. Sean East of New Albany joins us right now to talk about all the great things going on for him and his UMass team here in the early parts of this season. Sean, it's been fun to follow you, man. There have been some great moments for you so far. Earning a starting spot in the lineup, some big double-digit performances, scoring and otherwise. Also, a SportsCenter number one top 10 play with that basically full-court shot you had last week. I know without even asking, you are really enjoying your time at UMass right now, aren't you?
Yeah, it's been going good. The coaching staff and the players, they all welcome me with open arms and just been pushing me my hardest ever since I got here in the summer, since like May 20th. Since I stepped on campus, they've been on me and told me that I can play big minutes here, and they haven't stopped since, even with my success. They still on me every day in practice and not letting up, and that's what I want out of them.
Sean, as you prepared, you mentioned getting there in late May for this season, for your first year of college basketball. Did you think you could get that starting spot? Did you think you could – have the ball in your hands as much as you've had so far this season? Did you think you could do some of these things, or have you been a little surprised with some of the opportunities and the things that have went well for you so far?
That was part of the reason me committing here. There was no point guard signed, so I knew if I would work hard, I could get the starting spot. But just with the weight training coaches and what he had told me during the summer, I knew I put on a few pounds and put myself in an opportunity to be in that position to be able to start.
Talking with Sean East of New Albany, he's at UMass, A-10 Rookie of the Week. It was announced earlier this week. Let's talk a little bit about your body. That's kind of been something I've heard people around here say as they saw you on TV or saw pictures of you, that, man, Sean East has really built himself up and really filled out a little bit. Has working on your body and your muscle mass and things like that been a big goal, maybe even a big part of some of your success, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I came in the summer at like 167, and our weight trainer, Cody Green, he put 13 pounds on me this summer to 180. So I've been trying to maintain that weight, and we've been lifting all the time. And just that helps with the game and not letting people be able to push you around. And that's just been helping me. It's easier for me to score and find teammates than it already was. So
Sean East joins the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. Let me ask this. What's life like in college basketball? We hear stories, we read things, we know that practices can be grueling. You're trying to stay on top of academics as well. You talked about working on your body. There's always something going on. Maybe you're traveling to a road game. Always busy. How crazy is life as a Division I college basketball player?
It depends on some people. For me, I mean, I think it is busy. I think it is crazy. I mean, especially if you want to be good at it. So, I mean, there's always something you got to do, whether it's work or in the film room watching or trying to get better on your own or just, I mean, calling your parents, having time for them. Like, it's just, you barely have time to talk and do things that you normally would do in high school on a daily basis. But now it's just, you would think you would have more free time, but you really don't yet. Doing today.
Sean East joining me here on the Hoosier Report. Sean, you took a year between New Albany and UMass to go the prep school route, and you played at a prep school program that offered you opportunities to really, really hone in on your game, to focus on individual skill work and to also play a big schedule across the country, get exposure maybe to coaches that would not have seen you in the Midwestern part of the United States. How important was that year for you, both exposure-wise, with your game individually, and really just a growth year for you also?
It was very important. I mean, I probably like just got better so much in that 1 year, just every day with my assistant coach in the lab, but like 6 a.m. workouts and film room, just studying each and every game and trying to get better. He was reaching out to all coaches all year. And luckily when we played Woodstock, the coach that's here now, he liked my game, and that's how he introduced him to coach, the head coach, Coach McCall, and all the assistant coaches. And then that's when it all started to, you know, pick up.
Talking with Sean East here on this Thursday edition of the show. Sean, last week you had national attention with a about 75-foot buzzer-beater shot at halftime. It actually gave your UMass team the lead at half over Northeastern. And I was at another game, and someone sent me the clip on social media, and I immediately thought, I wonder if this will make the top 10 plays. It has to make the top 10 plays. And little did I know it would end the night as the number one play on SportsCenter. How crazy was that sequence for you? And kind of take us through that moment. You were so excited. You hit the shot and just ran straight back to the locker room, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, it was very exciting. I mean, I wasn't even going to shoot it at first. It was like 0.6 seconds, and I was just going to hold it in. And coaches just told me to shoot it. Like, we're trying to score. And I was like, all right. So, and as soon as I hit it, I thought, like, man, I just hit one of those in high school. And I did the same exact thing, ran all the way to the locker room.
Now, look, I said this the next day after you hit the shot, and it was number one on SportsCenter. I said, now, I got a little insight there. I said Sean and Romeo and Isaac Hibbard kind of started a tradition at practice, at the end of practice at New Albany, where you guys would take some half-court shots and three-quarter court shots and shots from the opposite free-throw line. And I'd say I've seen you hit a number of those. Maybe they were in practice and no one else in the gym. But that's a shot that, believe it or not, you actually practice, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Me and Romeo was talking about that earlier in the week. Just like hand dogging, we used to practice that after practice all the time, and just shoot crazy shots. And we've hit a number of those, but it's just, you know, it's just a blessing. I'm just enjoying everything.
Absolutely. Talking to Sean East here on the Hoosier Report. You mentioned Romeo. Obviously, he's had a tough go of it with injuries. How's his spirit right now, you think?
I think he's staying happy. You know, he's just in. Cherishing each moment. He's just trying to, you know, get back to the NBA, and he's going to keep – when he gets healthy, he's going to show everybody that he's good.
Sean East, my guest. Sean, let's talk a little bit about your UMass team before we let you go and get back to things. It's a program that's off to a great start. There seems to be a lot of momentum and a lot of excitement around some of you guys, and there's a lot of youth on this UMass team as well. It looks like the future, whether it be later this season or the next couple of seasons, could be really bright for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. We have like 7 freshmen, 3 sophomores, like 1 or 2 juniors, and 2 seniors. Like, we're a very young team. We play all of our freshmen. So, I mean, the future is bright here, but we're trying to win now, though. So, even though we're looking towards the future and it's going to be bright, but right now we're trying to focus on now because – as you see, we can be as good as we want to be if we keep working.
Sean, I know you get lots of love from back here in New Albany and the Louisville area with your family and friends and fans that have supported you really going back to your high school days. What was it like to get – I know you get a lot consistently, but what was it like to get a big outpouring after some of these big performances you've had recently to know you've got a big support base back here at home?
It's good just to know that the fans from home and, you know, from both cities I've lived in, Louisville and New Albany, you know, they're just still following me and supporting me. And it's good to know especially when you're away from a college and, you know, people that still care about you just outside your family. So it's good to know that you have that support on your back and you're not alone out here.
Absolutely. Sean East, New Albany graduate, playing at UMass, starting point guard, off to a big start for the Minutemen. Sean, thanks for taking a couple minutes out to catch up. Miss you here, man, in Southern Indiana.
Yes, sir. Miss y'all, too. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Oh, that was a lot of fun. Sean East with us from UMass, and of course his UMass team victorious again last night. You Lee Kelly, saw his whole high school career unfold. What a player.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact of watching him, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Seeing him come in as a freshman, and I sitting with people, and we're going, that young man is tiny, and yet what he's turned out to be through hard work and perseverance and great coaching.
Yeah, no question about it. Lee Kelly, thanks for being with me on this Thursday program. It's always fun. Can't wait to be out at Christian Academy Floyd Central with you on Tuesday. Also, if you missed Craig Pearson yesterday, Clark and Floyd County top prospects. We're doing it boys and girls. We started with the freshman class. We did a top five, and we'll do more as we get deeper into the higher classes, the older classes. But if you missed it yesterday, we gave our opinion, and we asked a lot of coaches and others in the area, and we're going to update these things three or four times a year. There's going to be profiles in the newspaper of some of the players, of all the players, as we move forward. And Caleb Washington of Floyd Central, if you're making some notes for the upcoming high school season, he was our number one freshman prospect at this point in the area. Jackson Streander of New Albany 2, Caleb Thomas of Jeffersonville 3, and again, we have top five and some others on the bubble as well, so look for that in the News and Tribune and online as well, and that's another part of the high school season is following some of the great players that we have in the area. Don't forget, if you miss any of our shows, you can find us as a podcast. Download the SoundCloud app. It's free. And search the Hoosier Report. We're also an Apple podcast as well. Just type in the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. I'm back with you Friday at 11 o'clock. We've got, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, Jared Morris of Assembly Call on IU, and a lot more. This is the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports.